From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today, we continue this series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text is found in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7. He was heard in that he feared. Did this fear arise from the infernal suggestion that he was utterly forsaken? There may be sterner trials than this, but surely it is one of the worst to be utterly forsaken. See, said Satan, thou hast a friend nowhere. Thy father hath shut up the bowels of his compassion against thee. Not an angel in his courts will stretch out his hand to help thee. All heaven is alienated from thee. Thou art left alone. See the companions with whom thou hast taken sweet counsel. What are they worth? Son of Mary, see there thy brother James. See there thy loved disciple John, and thy bold apostle Peter. How the cowards sleep when thou art in thy sufferings. Lo, thou hast no friend left in heaven or earth. All hell is against thee. I have stirred up my infernal den. I have sent my missives throughout all regions, summoning every prince of darkness to set upon thee this night. And we will spare no arrows. We will use all our infernal might to overwhelm thee. And what wilt thou do, thou solitary one? It may be this was the temptation. We think it was, because the appearance of an angel unto him, strengthening him, removed that fear. He was heard in that he feared. He was no more alone, but heaven was with him. It may be that this is the reason of his coming three times to his disciples. As Hart puts it, backwards and forwards thrice he ran, as if he sought some help from man. He would see for himself whether it was really true that all men had forsaken him. He found them all asleep. But perhaps he gained some faint comfort from the thought that they were sleeping not from treachery, but from sorrow. The spirit indeed was willing, but the flesh was weak. At any rate, he was heard in that he feared. Jesus was heard in his deepest woe. My soul, thou shalt be heard also.
Imagine a boy growing up under the influence of a drunken father, participating in the violence and bloodshed of Northern Ireland in the 1970s, and being imprisoned in the Maze, the most notorious prison in the country. Yet, by the grace of God and the influence of caring loved ones, this young man's life was transformed by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So thorough was the change that Thomas Martin became a powerful preacher whose testimony and ministry has seen many men and women brought to new life in Christ. Thomas Martin's story of the miracle of God's saving grace has been set down in a book entitled Out of the Maze, written by Noel Davidson. And Let the Bible Speak is happy to make copies of this encouraging and heartwarming book available free of charge to all who request it. For a free copy of Out of the Maze, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of Out of the Maze, and we'll be happy to provide it. But don't delay. The supply of this book is very limited. Continuing this series in the Epistle to the Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message called Total Depravity. The text is found in chapter 8, verses 7 and 8. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. In this passage, the Apostle Paul is referring to the natural condition of every person born into this world. Because everyone is descended from Adam, everyone has inherited a sin nature. Not only is every person a sinner by birth, but each one deliberately chooses to sin because his or her heart is in rebellion against God. Now Dr. Cairns continues this message, Total Depravity.
Total depravity, the term, is a theological term. It's a term that describes a lot of scriptures. If I were to take you starting in the book of Genesis chapter 6 and then chapter 8 and go the whole way through the Bible, we could take all night just turning up texts of scripture that when they're put together yield this term, total depravity. There are some people who object to it, and they really do show the ignorance of their hearts in that what they're objecting to is often not what the term proposes. So let me clear the decks tonight and tell you what we do not mean by saying man is totally depraved. Let me tell you what the term does not mean. It does not mean that every sinner acts as wickedly as all other sinners. It does not mean that. Obviously, you walk down the main street in Greenville, and one sinner meets you with a smile and a good morning, and the next sinner meets you with a gun, blazes that bullet into you, the first one's not acting as evilly as the second one. So when we talk about men being totally depraved, we are not saying that every man acts as wickedly as all other men. We are not saying that every man acts as wickedly as he might act. We are not saying that every man is now as evil as he may become. That's not the doctrine either. We're not saying that every man indulges in every form of sin. Nor are we saying that every man is incapable of doing, quotes, good to others. We all know people who are unsaved, and the Bible speaks of these. I'm thinking of one of the kings of Israel who was a man that God judged. He fell into deep apostasy and wickedness, but God commended him for the good thing that he did. So we all know sinners who have done good, who have, for example, given money to the orphans, who have fed the hungry, who have sought to use their wealth to bring some light and comfort into otherwise dark and comfortless lives. We all know unsaved people who have acted, in human terms, nobly and courageously. Some unsaved men on the battlefield have given their life or given their limbs to protect those who were with them. So when we talk about total depravity, there are some misconceptions we've got to clear up. These are some of the things the doctrine does not mean. What it does mean, quite simply, is that every part of human nature has been corrupted by sin, with the result that there is no spiritual good in any man by nature, and that no man, without the intervention of regenerating grace, no man has the ability to originate spiritual good toward God. That is total depravity. Now, I'm giving you an overview of what it doesn't mean and what it does mean, so that I may clear away any misconceptions and any objections that you've heard that would be rattling around in your head that would stop you coming with me to the text of Scripture tonight. We're going to be coming to Romans 8, verses 7 and 8. And when you look at this text, let me say right up front, you're going to see something that is very important to grasp. There are two descriptions of depravity here. Two descriptions. We're going to look at them in due course. But the thing to note is this, that in each case, the description defines depravity as an active energy. In other words, sinners are not in a state of being passive victims of sin. This is not the case of, quote, a poor sinner caught up in sin against his will. Water is wet, right? Rocks are hard, right? They have nothing to say about that, and they have nothing to say about it. They have no input into it. Water is wet and rocks are hard. That's it. But you can't simply say that about sinners. Sinners are sinful and that's it. Because men, unlike the rocks, are not just passive in their state. Theirs is a state of active depravity. The Bible teaches that the corruption of sin resides chiefly in the mind and the will of man. We focus on people's actions. Now, I don't want to get too technical because this would take us way off course. But let me back up a little. Even the word will is such a difficult word. Most preachers and most teachers, when they're talking about this, they talk about decisions. What are called volitions. Acts of the will. You decide this, you decide that, you decide the other thing. And the constant emphasis is upon volition. What I choose to do. What I don't choose to do. And there is the tendency to lock sin up into a series of actions, choices, or volitions. But sin goes much deeper than that. The will of man has a state. It has a bias. It has an inward inclination. In other words, the sin or the will of man is already inclined in a certain direction. This is the governing disposition of the will. And out of that, all its actions arise. Why do I raise that? Do men have a free will? Calvinists and Arminians have been fighting about that one for years. I'm a Calvinist. I'm supposed to say men do not have a free will. Rubbish. The will of man is free. The problem is, as A.A. Hodge pointed out years ago, the man himself is a slave. That's the problem. What is free will? Free will, theologically speaking, is the ability of a moral agent to make choices according to the disposition of his will. Man is totally inclined to self, totally inclined against God, and every decision and volition of his will is the natural product of that disposition. So when we talk about depravity, we're talking about something that resides chiefly and deeply in the will of man. Our portion in Romans 8 emphasizes this. They, sinners, mind the flesh. They mind the flesh. I, again, cannot back up and go through an exposition of that particular phrase. Again, You'll have to go back and get the CD of the former message to do that. But sum it up in the words of the Lord Jesus, men love darkness. Oh, they're in darkness. They are darkness. But they love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. The depravity of man, in other words, is not just something imposed upon him. It is something in which he is actively involved. Now let's, with that in mind, come to our text and see the terms that emphasize this deliberate depravity and activity. The carnal mind, the mind of the flesh, the unregenerate human nature is enmity against God. Enmity unto, toward, and therefore against God. Now the term that is here translated enmity carries in its cargo, as it were, two great ideas. One is the thought of hate, and the other is the thought of hostility. What does it mean by saying that the carnal mind is enmity? And notice, it is not just at enmity. This is not a passing phase. This is an essential description of the state of man outside of grace. This is what men are, not just what men do. This is what men are. The carnal mind is enmity. It is hatred and hostility personified against God. Now, those are strong words. But the Holy Ghost has deliberately employed a strong word here. As I said to you, the Bible takes man's sin seriously. And unless the Bible gets to a proper diagnosis of the human condition, then there is no remedy possible. Unless we get to the depths of what is wrong, there is no chance of putting it right. And so the Bible here gets right down to the depths of the human state. It is one of hatred and hostility against God. And this is the state of all men by nature. Romans chapter 5 says, and this is the testimony of Christians, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. We were enemies. Colossians chapter 1 verse 21 says, you were sometime alienated. At one time you were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 28, they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. The words there have the force, they did not approve to have God in their knowledge. Now here's a description of enemies. And you'll notice this constant emphasis. Enemies in the mind. Ephesians 4:18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, which is through darkness or through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Here's an emphasis then upon the mind. Here's an emphasis upon the understanding. Here's an emphasis upon the heart or the will. This is the inward, complete moral constitution of man. And God is saying every man by nature is one full of hatred and hostility to God. I want you to see that. Now let that sink in. And that's as true of the church-going sinner as it is of the atheist. That may sound an extreme statement. It's not. That hatred and that hostility may manifest itself in different ways and different people at different times. But it's there all the time. The man who sits under the sound of God's word and pushes it away. The man who knows the way of life but chooses death. The man who kicks over the traces of all that he's ever learned from the word of God, the teaching of the gospel, is showing the very same antagonism to God as you'll find in the most blatant sinner. Now, I am not equating their lifestyle. Do not misunderstand me. I am not equating their lifestyle. But I am saying the basic problem is the problem of enmity against God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.